Well, Facebook is feeling the heat again, this time over its data sharing partnerships with at least four Chinese companies, including the giant telco, Huawei. The world's third largest smartphone maker has come under scrutiny from Australian and US security agencies on national security concerns as it seeks to expand its footprint in both countries, as we've been talking about here on the program. Now, reports suggest data garnered from Australian Facebook profiles, such as work and education history, as well as friend networks, was made available to Huawei, possibly as far back as 2007. But Facebook denies such data could have been accessed without explicit consent. Well, is that really the case? RN Tech reporter Ariel Bogle joins me now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Hamish.
We've been more conscious of this sort of thing since the whole Cambridge Analytica revelations. What's the controversy here?
The controversy here is it just feels like with Facebook, there are so many shoes left to drop. We had just dealt, as you mentioned, with the Cambridge Analytica scandal in which the data of almost 300,000 Australians was shared with a UK political group. And here we're talking about something a bit different. This was a data sharing agreement that Facebook had with around 60 companies. BlackBerry, Microsoft, Samsung were included. And these deals were really there before we had Facebook apps. It allowed these companies on their devices to offer you full Facebook functionality, you know, the like button to make sure you could import your address book, for example. But the question here is, and the question that Facebook is now being asked, is whether these data sharing agreements were properly disclosed to users and to lawmakers, as they've appeared before Congress, as they've appeared before lawmakers in UK and Europe as well.
Obviously, other companies, other tech firms were involved in these sorts of arrangements. Does it matter that Huawei was part of the Facebook partnership?
Well, Huawei in recent years has come under fire from Australian lawmakers, from US lawmakers concerned about its ties to the Chinese government. So Huawei, of course, is sort of banned from being part of the NBN here in Australia over national security concerns. And recently, in recent days, US politicians and here in Australia, members of our Joint Intelligence Committee have also raised concerns that Facebook allowed data sharing agreements to go forward since, I think, 2010 with Huawei, and they're only being wound back this year. Facebook says, though, that data was never given to Huawei to store on its own servers, that the data of Facebook users was only ever stored on their Huawei device. But we'll see in the coming days, I'm sure they'll be facing some heavy questions.
And are we likely to see any kind of investigation here in Australia?
Well, I put this question to the Privacy Commissioner. Here in Australia, the Privacy Commissioner is already investigating those 300,000 Australian accounts that were shared with Cambridge Analytica. And I asked them whether they'd be expanding their investigation to look at this issue too. They said they have not sort of disclosed whether that would happen yet. But the Home Affairs Department has also said that it expects the technology sector to handle data and the privacy of individuals with greater integrity, as greater integrity as government and offline companies, really. So I'm sure as Facebook also has to come and face Parliament over our coming encryption laws, these questions might be put to them in those circumstances as well.
Now to a story that you've been looking at, a Silicon Valley startup, Theranos?
Theranos, yes.
Theranos, there we go, got it right. It was once a tech unicorn worth more than $9 billion, but earlier this year, the founder, Elizabeth Holmes, was charged with running an elaborate years-long fraud. For those of us not familiar with the case, just tell us what unfolded.
I really love this story. I guess, you know, it's always sad to see a giant fall, but in this case, Elizabeth Holmes, the founder, was really running, as the SEC put it, allegedly a massive fraud. So the technology that she promised was a blood testing tool that would, with just a few drops of blood from your finger, be able to do the full range of blood tests that you get when you go to the doctor. So if you've ever been to the doctor and had a blood test, they have to take quite a bit of blood to run the full spectrum of tests. She said she could do it with just a few drops of blood from your finger. Of course, this never really worked out, and now she's in big trouble.
Not surprisingly. Now, this was all broken by a Wall Street Journal journalist back in 2015, and you've been speaking to him about how he first got into the story.
Yes, so he has a new book out. It's called Bad Blood, appropriately, and he ran me through why he started looking into this case. So John is a healthcare reporter rather than a technology reporter, and excuse me.
You're right. Do you need a glass of water? Should we play the audio and you can...
Sure. Well, I'll just let you know, like he was a healthcare reporter, of course, and Elizabeth Holmes had gotten some really impressive press from The New Yorker, even The Wall Street Journal itself, lauding her as this new tech leader, a new Steve Jobs, as it were. But, you know, he had some questions about it. Here's him talking about why he started looking into it.
She sought to become the second coming of Steve Jobs, and unfortunately, the means was defrauding investors and even more egregiously putting patients in harm's way, because the blood tests that were handled by her technology were just a handful, and then most of her blood testing menu, the tests were performed on commercial diagnostic equipment that Theranos hacked into and modified to try to adapt them to small samples. And the upshot of all this is that the company corrected or voided nearly a million blood test results.
I mean, it's a fascinating story. The thing that I suppose springs to my mind is, why on earth was there not more scrutiny of this company?
It's a very good question. And I think in recent months and since the beginning of the year, we've really been, you know, turning the heat up on technology companies. But we have to remember, for years now, they've gotten off kind of scot-free. The technology press, as it evolved in Silicon Valley, it was always really about these giant heroes, your Mark Zuckerbergs, your Steve Jobs, really unquestioningly praising them for the revolutionary technology they developed. But in this case, you know, social media is one thing, but a blood test that could affect the lives of people whose blood was tested, that's a very different thing. And that's why John told me that he has some questions too about how Silicon Valley raises money. If you have a startup, you might go to a venture capitalist, you make your pitch, you promise them the world, you get that cash. But do you really have the technology to back it up?
It speaks to the way that Silicon Valley functions, which is that these founders, they have to promise the moon and they have to wow investors and venture capitalists in order to raise the money. And then only when they have the money can they actually execute on their visions. But in the case, I think, of Elizabeth Holmes, the gap between the promises and the reality of her device and her technology got so enormous that it became what the Securities and Exchange Commission called a massive fraud.
So in this case, I think we have learned here the importance of having specialist reporters. John was able to expose Theranos for what it really was because he had deep knowledge of the medical industry. And it's up to the rest of us to step it up, I think, and follow John's example.
Certainly a lot of questions to be asked about this one and many other tech operations. Ariel Bogle, thank you very much as always.
Thanks, Hamish.
That's Ariel Bogle, RN's technology reporter. It is 8:30.